This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Stephen.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
What harmless prank actually ended your whole relationship? Story one. He thought it would be funny to fake a proposal. We were at a friend's wedding, dancing and drinking. And at one point, he got down on one knee, held out a ring pop, and loudly asked, "Will you marry me?" Everyone gasped. People started recording. Some even clapped. I was mortified, especially because we'd been arguing for months about how he wasn't ready to take the next step. And suddenly, here he was making a joke out of the very thing I was hurting over. I laughed it off in the moment, trying not to cry in front of our friends. But that car ride home was silent. When we got back to our apartment, I calmly packed a bag, said I needed space, and didn't come back. It wasn't just the prank. It was the disrespect and total lack of awareness. The relationship was already limping. He just pulled the plug on life support. Story 2. She replaced my shampoo with Nair. Apparently, it was a TikTok trend. She swapped it into the bottle, then filmed herself giggling while I showered. It didn't even occur to me what was happening until I noticed clumps of hair in my hands. By the time I realized something was wrong, I had lost a good portion of the hair on the back of my head. I looked like I lost a bet with a lawnmower. She uploaded it with some silly sound effects and the caption, "He'll live." It got 40,000 views. I lost my job 2 weeks later because I worked as a trainer and appearances mattered. The final straw wasn't even the prank. It was the fact that she refused to take the video down, even after I asked her to. Said I was overreacting. So I left, took my balding head and my pride, and dipped. Story 3. My ex thought it would be funny to prank me by pretending she lost our dog. We'd had Max, our golden retriever, for 4 years. He was like our child. I came home one evening and she was sobbing, saying Max had slipped out the door and ran off. I dropped everything, printed flyers, drove around for 3 hours crying and calling his name. Eventually, I came back home, exhausted and heartbroken. And there he was, sitting on the couch with a party hat on. "Surprise!" she shouted. She thought I'd laugh. I didn't. I was shaking from the stress, and I couldn't even look at her. She kept saying, "It was just a joke," but it was a joke that exploited my worst fear. Something in me switched off that day. Trust evaporated. We broke up a week later. I kept Max. Story 4. He told me he was moving across the country for a job and didn't invite me. He waited until dinner, said he had huge news. He was moving to San Francisco in 2 weeks. Big career leap. But he didn't think we'd survive long distance and he wanted a clean break. I cried, hard. He just looked at me blankly, then finally burst out laughing. "Babe, it's a joke. Gotcha. I'm not going anywhere." He thought it was hilarious. I did not. That night, something in my brain rewired. I couldn't shake the feeling that he was capable of emotionally detonating me, just for laughs. The next morning, I told him I needed a break. We never really recovered from that joke. Story 5. She texted me pretending to be her ex. I got a random message one day saying, "I miss you. I still think about you every day. It was from a number I didn't recognize. I replied, confused, asking who it was. The replies kept coming, becoming more intimate, and I started to feel insecure and anxious. After 20 minutes, she burst into the room laughing, phone in hand, saying, "Gotcha." She had used a texting app to spoof a number and mess with me, saying it was just to see how I'd react. Thing is, she did still talk to her ex sometimes. "Nothing serious," she said. But after that prank, I couldn't tell what was real and what was a test. The trust was toast. I left 2 weeks later. Story 6. He photoshopped fake DMs to make it look like I was cheating. It started with a gotcha tone. He texted me screenshots of what looked like a conversation between me and someone named Chris from work. The messages were flirty, even explicit. My stomach dropped. I kept denying it, frantically checking my own texts to make sure I hadn't been hacked. I was crying, hyperventilating, convinced someone had stolen my identity or something bizarre was happening. And then he started laughing. Turns out he used an app to generate fake DMs and wanted to see how I would handle being caught. His reasoning? He wanted to test my reactions to see if I was trustworthy, like I was some lab experiment. I left the apartment that night and never returned. Not because I was cheating, but because if your partner thinks emotional trauma is a cool way to pass time, you're already in a relationship with a stranger. Story 7. She staged a fake car accident to scare me into being more present. We'd been arguing about me spending too much time at work. She kept saying she felt neglected, like I wasn't really there even when I was home. I kept brushing it off. Until one day I got a call from a number I didn't recognize. It was a man saying he witnessed my girlfriend's car flip on the highway. He said she was being taken away in an ambulance. I nearly threw up. I left a client meeting mid-sentence, sprinted to my car, and sped to the hospital he claimed she was taken to. When I got there, nobody had heard of her. I called and texted over and over. Nothing. After 2 hours of losing my mind, she finally called and said, "Don't be mad. It was a prank. Just wanted to make sure I still mattered." I didn't scream. I didn't hang up. I just sat in the hospital parking lot looking at my reflection in the windshield, realizing I had been emotionally manipulated in the cruelest way imaginable. We didn't speak again after that. Story 8. He put my childhood diary on TikTok. I'd kept a diary religiously from ages 9 to 16. My mom gave it to me when I moved out, and I had kept it in a box under our bed. One day I came home and he was laughing hysterically, reading one of the entries to his phone camera. He had posted clips of it, reading aloud entries like, "Dear Diary, today I kissed a poster of Zac Efron and I think we're spiritually married now," or, "I'm going to name my daughter Crystalia because it sounds sparkly." He added music, text overlays, even cartoon effects. When I confronted him, he said, "Oh, come on, it's not you now, it's just kid stuff. You gotta laugh at yourself." But I didn't find it funny. Those were sacred memories, private parts of myself never meant to be ridiculed or broadcasted. I wasn't mad that people were laughing. I was heartbroken that he started the laughter. I packed my things while he was asleep and left a note that said, "I shared my heart, and you turned it into content." Story 9. She fake sent a group text outing me to my actual group. We were a few months into dating and had just met each other's friend circles. One night, she decided it'd be funny to accidentally send a message to my friend group chat that said, "Can't wait to break up with Jason. He has no idea I've been faking it for a month, lol." Cue panic. I started getting side texts from friends asking if everything was okay. My best friend called me straight up. I was humiliated and confused. 30 minutes later, she replied to the group with, "JK! Totally a prank, love you, babe." I didn't say anything for 2 days. Then I told her I didn't need to be with someone who played with betrayal like a party game. It wasn't just that it hurt me, it made people question me. My friends weren't sure if I'd been blindsided or if I was ignoring red flags. She tried to apologize, but it didn't matter anymore. She tore down our relationship for the price of one laugh. Hope it was worth it. Story 10. He called ICE on my dad as a joke. I don't even know how to say this without feeling sick again. My boyfriend at the time knew I was protective of my father, who's undocumented. We'd been together for 2 years. He always played the edgy humor card, but one day he took it way too far. He knew I had nightmares about my dad being deported. So one day he left a fake letter in our mailbox with a forged DHS logo, claiming my dad was under investigation and had 30 days to leave. He printed it, aged it with coffee stains, and put it in an envelope with an official stamp. He even had a voicemail set up with a fake ICE message that played when I called the number on the letter. I couldn't breathe. I cried in the kitchen for an hour straight. When I confronted him, he said, "You always say you're worried, so I wanted to see how you'd react. It's just paper." That was the last day I saw him. He didn't just cross a line, he burned the whole map. Story 11. She accidentally sent my nudes to my mom. We had been sending spicy pictures back and forth while she was away on a trip, just a way to stay close and keep things interesting. Nothing too wild. But then, she thought it would be hilarious to pretend to send one of the photos to my mom as a mistake. She even faked a screenshot of the message thread, showing the photo next to my mom's name with the caption, "OMG, I'm so sorry, wrong person. I nearly passed out. I tried calling my mom 5 times in a row, ready to crawl into a hole and never return." She didn't answer, probably because it was 2 in the morning. My heart was pounding for over an hour while my girlfriend laughed and kept saying, "It's just a prank." She didn't actually get it. When I realized it was a fake screenshot, I didn't feel relief. I felt rage. It wasn't funny. It was violating. She had no idea what my relationship with my mom was like, how complicated and emotionally fragile it had been. I couldn't look at her the same after that. It wasn't a joke. It was psychological warfare disguised as a meme. We broke up 2 days later. Story 12. He convinced me I had a serious medical condition, just for laughs. I had just come back from a routine checkup and left the paperwork on the kitchen counter. Nothing unusual. The next morning, I woke up to him sitting next to me, looking very serious. "Babe, I have to tell you something." The doctor's office called. He handed me a printed out lab result. It said I had a rare hormonal imbalance that could cause hallucinations and memory loss. I started to panic. I'd had a few forgetful moments recently and suddenly thought I was losing my mind. He kept the act going all day. Even texted his friend pretending to be Dr. Lewis. I cried in the shower. Cried so hard I puked. Later that evening, he cracked and admitted it was all fake. He made up the diagnosis. He thought it would teach me not to leave medical stuff laying around, that it was just dark humor. I didn't even yell. I just looked at him and realized, if this man could fake a serious diagnosis and watch me unravel, he didn't love me. He loved control. I left that night with a small duffel bag and never spoke to him again. Story 13. She told my sister I was dead. I had turned my phone off for one day. Just one Sunday. We had talked about doing a screen-free weekend, and I decided to try it. She, however, got bored. So when my sister texted her asking if I was okay, because I hadn't responded to her usual meme barrage, my girlfriend decided to text back, "He's gone. He passed last night. Sorry." My sister lost her mind. She called my parents, my cousin, my ex-girlfriend. Everyone was in a panic. I came back online 7 hours later to dozens of missed calls, a voicemail from my sobbing grandmother, and a Facebook post from my cousin saying, "Rest easy, Jay." I didn't even confront her. I just walked out the door and never returned. She texted, "It was a joke, I swear. Your sister knows I'm sarcastic." She never got the chance to joke again. Some things you don't fake. Death is one of them. Story 14. He put a GPS tracker in my bag, for safety. We were long distance at the time. He said he worried about me walking alone at night. I thought it was sweet, until I found out the safety tracker wasn't just on my keychain. He had secretly slipped a separate GPS tracker into the lining of my purse. I only found out because I lost my bag and filed a police report. They found the tracker and asked if I had a stalker. When I confronted him, he didn't deny it. In fact, he seemed proud, said it was his little prank, and he wanted to see if I'd ever sneak around. I was floored. That wasn't a prank. That was surveillance. That was a violation of privacy I didn't even think someone who claimed to love me could cross. The scariest part? He didn't think he'd done anything wrong. I ended it and blocked him from everything. Love shouldn't feel like being hunted. Story 15. She replaced my anxiety meds with sugar pills to test the placebo effect. I've had generalized anxiety disorder since I was 16. I've been on the same SSRI for years. It doesn't cure it, but it keeps me functional, working, sleeping, able to hold down relationships. One day, I started noticing weird things, waking up in full-body sweats, forgetting basic things, crying uncontrollably at minor stressors. I told her. She said I should try going without meds for a bit, just to see. I refused. 2 weeks later, I found the pill bottle in the trash, the actual pills replaced with candy mints. She confessed. She had been swapping them out to prove I didn't need chemicals to be normal. She thought it would be empowering. I couldn't even process the rage. The withdrawals alone made me feel like I was dying. And here she was, playing God with my mental health like it was some philosophy podcast experiment. I left her, filed a police report, and never looked back. Some pranks aren't pranks. They're abuse with a laugh track. Story 16. He told me I failed the bar exam before the results even came out. Becoming a lawyer had been a decade-long grind for me. I was the first in my family to even go to college. I studied like my life depended on it. When bar results were supposed to be released, the website crashed for hours, so no one could access them. A few hours later, my boyfriend texted me a screenshot of my name with the words, "Did not pass," next to it. He said he found a backdoor into the site. I broke down sobbing on the floor. He held me, fake crying, saying, "We'll get through this." Later that night, he said, "Kidding. I made the screenshot in Photoshop. You passed." He thought it was hilarious. Now you'll remember this day forever, right? I do remember it. Just not the way he hoped. I moved out the next day. I wanted to celebrate one of the biggest moments of my life with someone who respected it, not someone who thought it was punchline material. Story 17. She replaced my proposal ring with a gummy ring. I had it all planned out. Candlelit dinner on the rooftop of our first apartment together, her favorite music playing in the background, a photographer hidden behind the stairwell. I practiced the speech for days. When I opened the ring box, instead of the diamond ring I'd saved for over a year to buy, there was a red gummy candy ring. I froze. She laughed and said, "Gotcha. I swapped it this morning while you were at work." I just stood there in silence while she waited for me to laugh. The photographer peeked out, unsure what to do. After an awkward pause, she finally handed me the real ring and said, okay, do it for real now." But I couldn't. The moment was dead. My vulnerability was mocked in real time. What should have been a memory to cherish felt cheap and performative. I put the ring back in the box, smiled politely, and left that night. Story 18. He faked having a gambling addiction to see if I'd still love him. It started subtly. He'd make vague comments about needing money, about being in deep. Then he confessed he'd been betting large amounts online and had lost over $15,000. My stomach sank. I started crying, not because of the money, but because of the betrayal, the risk, the instability. I offered to help. I told him we'd figure it out, even floated the idea of therapy. For a full week, we lived in that chaotic cloud. Me managing his anxiety, him acting withdrawn and tortured. And then, casually, while brushing his teeth, he said, "Babe, it wasn't real. I just wanted to see if you'd stick by me through the worst." I stood there in disbelief. He manufactured a crisis, a lie so deeply rooted in fear and manipulation, and called it a loyalty test. The fact that I passed didn't matter, because I failed myself by being in a relationship where someone thought deception was a valid measure of love. We broke up that morning. I haven't spoken to him since. Story 19. She shaved off one of my eyebrows while I slept, and then blamed it on my stress shedding. I'm a light sleeper, but I'd just pulled an all-nighter for a work deadline. I passed out mid-conversation. I woke up the next morning feeling oddly cold on my face. I looked in the mirror and screamed. My left eyebrow was completely gone. Not trimmed. Not mangled. Just gone. She came running in and said, "Babe, don't panic." I googled it. It might be stress-induced alopecia. "You've been under so much pressure." I actually believed her. I spent hours researching conditions and treatments. It wasn't until I opened Snapchat later that day and saw a saved video titled, "One Down, One to Go," that I realized the truth. She had posted a story to her close friends showing herself shaving it off, laughing and whispering, "He won't even notice until lunch." I didn't yell. I didn't cry. I just handed her the clippers and said, "Might as well take the other one. Then pack your things." Story 20. He made our breakup official on social media before I even knew we were broken up. We hadn't even been arguing. Things were fine. Or so I thought. Then I started getting weird messages from friends. "Sorry to hear. You okay?" One even sent me a bouquet of flowers. I opened Instagram and saw a post. A picture of my now ex with his arm around his dog. Captioned, "Back to just me and the real one. Time to heal." I was tagged in it. Comments flooded in. People speculating. Someone even messaged me to ask if he had cheated. I tried calling. No answer. When I finally got through, he said, "It's just a joke. I wanted to see how long it would take you to notice." He deleted the post, but the damage was done. My family called. My boss heard. A distant cousin asked if I was pregnant. It was humiliating. That level of public humiliation, even if intended as a joke, wasn't something I could forgive. It told me everything I needed to know. He cared more about reactions than reality. So I made the breakup real. Story 21. She told me my dog had run away and kept the lie going for 2 days. My dog, Cooper, is a 12-year-old beagle I rescued when I was in college. He's been with me through 2 moves, my dad's passing, and every dark day in between. My girlfriend knew that. She always joked that I loved Cooper more than her, and yeah, maybe I did a little. One afternoon, I came home from work and the door was wide open. No Cooper. No note. Just his leash on the floor. I called her, panicked. She answered in tears, said she left the door cracked while grabbing groceries, and that Cooper must have run off. I lost it. I drove around screaming his name, crying, printing flyers, calling every vet in the area. That night, I slept on the porch. Didn't want to miss him if he came back. The next morning, I found him curled up in the laundry room, completely fine. She walked in holding her phone and said, "I thought you'd figure it out faster. He was never gone. I just wanted to see how much you cared." She'd filmed the whole thing like it was some social experiment. I didn't say a word. Just packed Coop's stuff and we left. That wasn't a prank. That was emotional terrorism. Story 22. He pretended to get arrested on our anniversary dinner. We had dinner reservations at a beautiful rooftop spot I'd been dying to try. He wore a suit, brought me flowers, and even said, "Tonight will be unforgettable," and oh boy, it was. Midway through the meal, two men in security uniforms walked up to our table and said they needed to speak with him. He stood up, played along nervously, and they handcuffed him and read him fake charges. Something about unpaid fines and fraudulent IDs. I was in shock. He kept shouting, "Call my lawyer! Tell my mom I love her!" before being escorted out. I ran after them in a panic, only for the officers to burst out laughing and shout, "You've been pranked!" He came back 5 minutes later, grinning. Bet no one ever topped that for a dinner story. I couldn't even eat after that. My hands wouldn't stop shaking. I realized I was sitting across from someone who would let me believe he was being taken to jail for fun. He loved the drama more than he loved me. That was our last date. Story 23. She told me she was pregnant as a joke, right after I told her I might be infertile. We were in the middle of some heavy life planning. I'd just gotten test results that hinted I might have low fertility. It wasn't definitive, but it was serious enough that we started having long, emotional talks about what our future might look like. A few days later, she sat me down with wide eyes and said, "I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant." I froze. I didn't know how to react. My heart was pounding. Then I smiled, hope flooding my chest. She waited a beat, then said, "Just kidding. April Fools," and burst out laughing. I just stared at her. Not a word came out. Her smile faltered when she realized I wasn't laughing. I told her to get out, not because of the joke itself, but because it was the most emotionally tone-deaf moment I'd ever experienced. She knew exactly what I was going through, and she still chose the punchline. We didn't speak again after that. Story 24. He changed his relationship status to single every time we had a disagreement. It started small. We'd argue about the dishes or weekend plans, and the next morning his Facebook status would be set to single. At first I thought it was a mistake. Then it became a pattern. Every disagreement, no matter how small, resulted in a public breakup. People would message me constantly. "Are you guys okay? Did something happen?" My aunt even called crying once, thinking we'd broken up for real. Each time he'd claim it was a bit, saying, "I'm just making fun of how dramatic couples act online." He loved the reactions, the drama. He'd even post memes like, "She mad but she'll be back by lunch," with winking emojis. I finally told him, "If you joke about breaking up every week, one day it won't be a joke." That day came. I changed my status for the first time ever to single and blocked him on everything. Turns out the joke really was on him. Story 25. She swapped out my allergy meds for sugar pills before a camping trip. I'm severely allergic to bee stings. I always carry an EpiPen and take preventative meds before hikes or trips into heavily wooded areas. She knew this. We'd even had deep talks about how scary my allergy could be, how one sting could shut my airway. We went on a camping trip with some friends. I took my pill, packed my gear, and off we went. Day 2, I got stung while setting up a hammock. No biggie, I'd prepared. But within minutes, I felt my throat tightening. My body wasn't responding the way it usually did. I had to use my EpiPen for the first time in years and was rushed to a rural emergency clinic. Turns out, my girlfriend had emptied the pill bottle and filled it with candy. "I just wanted to see if it was really that serious," she confessed. "I thought maybe you were just paranoid." She gambled with my life for curiosity. I never saw her again. And I never went camping without triple-checking my meds. Story 26. She forged a breakup letter from my therapist. I've struggled with depression and anxiety for years. Therapy is one of the few things that grounds me. I don't share much about those sessions, but my girlfriend always asked questions, half out of curiosity, half concern. I once made the mistake of leaving a session summary email open on my laptop. One day, after a small argument, she handed me a printed email. It looked official. Same header, signature, format. It said my therapist was terminating treatment due to concerns about boundary issues and romantic codependency. I felt the blood drain from my face. I spiraled, couldn't sleep. Thought I had ruined one of the only safe spaces I had. I even tried calling my therapist but couldn't reach her that night. For 24 hours, I was a wreck. The next evening, my girlfriend admitted she wrote the email. Said it was a wake-up call, that I'd been putting my therapist's advice above her opinions. She genuinely believed the fake letter would snap me out of it. It snapped something, all right. My trust in her, my willingness to stay. I left that weekend. She had crossed into sacred ground and called it a joke. Story 27. He faked a DNA test to say I wasn't our baby's father. It was Father's Day. My first one. Our daughter was just under a year old. We'd been through sleepless nights, teething hell, and a pandemic together. I woke up to balloons, breakfast, and a card that said, "Time to find out if you really earned this day." I opened a gift box and inside was a fake DNA report. It had my name, the baby's name, and the words probability of
Message and data rates may apply or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Eternity. 0%. I stared at it, blinking, trying to process. She burst out laughing. It's a prank. Gotcha. You should have seen your face. I didn't laugh. I couldn't. Because in that instant, I looked at my daughter and felt a shadow pass over something that had always been pure. I knew it wasn't real, but the doubt she planted, even for a second, felt like a betrayal I couldn't unsee. That night, I didn't sleep. The next morning, I told her I needed space. We tried counseling, but things never went back to normal. Love survives many storms, but it dies in poisoned soil. That joke ruined everything. Story 28. She replaced my grandmother's ashes with flour as a prank. I kept my grandmother's ashes in a small, hand-carved wooden urn on our bookshelf. She was the only family I truly had left. Raised me when my mom couldn't, taught me how to cook, helped me through every heartbreak before she passed. My girlfriend knew all that. One day, while reorganizing the living room, I noticed the urn felt lighter. Office. I opened it. Flour. Just baking flour. I panicked, thinking it had been stolen or misplaced. She walked in holding the urn and said, "Relax, your grandma's fine. She's in the pantry. I was just messing with you." Sure enough, the ashes were in a Ziploc bag next to the rice. I didn't speak, just grabbed the bag and left. I sat in my car for an hour and sobbed. There are lines you don't cross, no matter how close you are. Playing with someone's grief for a cheap laugh isn't a prank. It's a moral failure. I broke up with her that night. My grandmother deserved better. So did I. Story 29. He convinced me I missed our wedding by oversleeping. It was the week before our real wedding. Everything was planned down to the last flower. I'd had a rough week, barely sleeping from anxiety and last-minute details. So he said, "Take tomorrow off, sleep in, I'll handle the final cake tasting." I woke up the next morning to 50 missed calls, dozens of texts, and a flood of Instagram notifications. Friends and family had posted photos of what looked like a wedding. Decorations, cake, Even a video of him fake crying while holding a bouquet. The captions all read, "She didn't show." I hyperventilated. I called him sobbing, thinking I had blacked out or missed the date, that I had ruined everything. He finally answered, laughing, "You're so dramatic. It's a joke. We didn't actually do anything. We just staged it. It was all fake. A prank between him and the groomsmen. He thought it was hilarious." I felt humiliated, violated, and emotionally gaslit. I went to my parents' house that night. The real wedding never happened. Because you don't joke about vows before you're even willing to take them. Story 30. She told me I was under FBI surveillance to get back at me for ignoring her texts. We'd been together almost a year. I missed two of her texts one afternoon while I was in back-to-back meetings. That evening, I came home to find a white envelope on our bed marked confidential. Inside was a fake subpoena, a USB drive, and a warning that my activities had been flagged by the Department of Justice. On the drive, a heavily edited recording of a phone call between me and a coworker, chopped to make it sound like I was laundering money. I actually called a lawyer friend in a panic. She finally confessed after seeing how pale I went. "You ignored me for 6 hours," she said. "I just wanted your attention. It wasn't a joke. It was an elaborate punishment disguised as humor. And it made me realize I wasn't dating a partner. I was dating someone who thought psychological warfare was foreplay." I ended it that night. She cried and said I was being too sensitive. Maybe. Or maybe I just refused to live under fake federal indictment as pillow talk. Story 31. He recorded me sleepwalking and posted it online without telling me. I've struggled with parasomnia since I was a teen. I sleepwalk sometimes. It's not dangerous, but it's embarrassing. I once tried to microwave my sandals, and another time I fell asleep in the bathtub fully clothed. My boyfriend said he found it endearing. He made jokes about it, but I always assumed it stayed private. Until one morning, I woke up to dozens of notifications. A video titled, "Sleepwalker Tries to Fight Ghosts in Her Hallway," had gone semi-viral. 400,000 views. It was me, barefoot and confused, holding a laundry basket like a weapon and talking to a lamp. His voice was in the video, laughing behind the camera. I confronted him and he said, "It's just funny, babe. Everyone thinks you're adorable." I didn't find it funny. I found it violating. That video was me at my most unconscious and unguarded. And he broadcast it for likes. I left the next day. I haven't slept in his presence since. Story 32. She faked losing her memory after a minor fall. We were hiking when she slipped on some loose gravel and hit her elbow. Not her head, her elbow. She insisted she was fine. But when we got back to the car, she started acting strange, asking who I was, where we were, calling me sir and refusing to touch me. I panicked, drove her to the ER, called her mom, was practically in tears by the time we got to the parking lot. That's when she laughed. "Oh my God, your face. It's a prank. I saw it on TikTok." I didn't laugh. I just stared at her and realized how deeply unsettling it felt, how she weaponized confusion and fear for her own amusement. I didn't break up with her right away. I waited a week. But something shifted after that. I couldn't trust that any serious moment with her wasn't just another performance. When someone plays pretend long enough, eventually the other person just stops playing. Story 33. He pretended to be drunk and tried to confess to cheating, just to see how I'd react. We were at a party. He drank a little, but not much. Around midnight, he stumbled up to me, slurring his words, and pulled me aside. "I need to tell you something. I kissed someone. I'm so sorry." I stood there, heartbroken, gutted. Tried to walk away, but he grabbed my hand, suddenly totally sober and smiling. "Gotcha. Just wanted to see how much you care." Everyone laughed. Apparently, it was a dare from his friend. A loyalty test. I went outside and cried in my car. He texted me the next morning like nothing had happened. I didn't respond. There's no humor in pretending to betray someone, especially not in front of strangers. It wasn't a test of love, it was a confirmation that he didn't deserve mine. Story 34. She convinced her family I was proposing at Christmas, without telling me. We'd only been together 10 months. I liked her, maybe even loved her, but marriage wasn't even close to the table. We drove 6 hours to her parents' house for the holidays. Her mom was giddy. Her dad pulled me aside and said, "You have my blessing." Her sister hugged me and whispered, "She's going to freak out." I had no idea what was going on, until I noticed everyone was filming me when we gathered around the tree. Then she reached under a cushion and pulled out a ring box. She said, "Wait for it," and pointed at me. I sat frozen. She winked. "Come on, babe. You know what to do." She had planted a fake ring box and told everyone I was planning to pop the question as a fun prank. When I didn't, They all laughed awkwardly and said, "Oh, good one." I didn't laugh. I drove home alone that night. Story 35. He told my boss I was quitting to pursue my dream. I'd been working at the same company for 4 years. I liked my job, but I'd also been open about my hobby. I play piano and write music. Sometimes I'd joke that in another life I'd be a composer. Well, apparently my boyfriend thought it'd be funny to email my boss, from a burner email, pretending to be me. He wrote this long, heartfelt resignation about how I needed to chase my creative calling. Then he casually mentioned it over dinner like it was no big deal. "Don't worry, I didn't actually send it under your name. Just wanted to see your reaction." Except he had. My boss called me in the next day to wish me luck. HR had already started the offboarding process. He tried to fix it, but the damage was done. My company thought I was unreliable. I lost a promotion opportunity. I lost a lot of things that week. My job wasn't one of them, but my relationship sure was. Story 36. She hired an actor to pretend to be my long-lost son. I'm 35. I had a bit of a wild college phase, but I've never fathered a child, at least not that I knew of. One evening, my girlfriend and I were at a small dinner party when a teenager walked in, stared at me and said, "Dad?" Everyone got quiet. He had tears in his eyes. Said his mom told him about me. He even had a photo of me from years ago on his phone. I completely shut down. My hands were shaking. I was already calculating ages, trying to figure out how this could be real. My girlfriend sat silently, eyes wide, acting stunned. 10 minutes later, the kid laughed and said, "I'm just messing. She paid me $50 to do this." "You should have seen your face," she howled. Everyone else did too, except me. It wasn't just the prank. It was that she used the idea of me having abandoned a child as comedy. She knew how guilty I already felt about not being close with my own estranged father. We broke up that night. I told her if she ever wanted to play pretend family again, she'd need to find someone else. Story 37. He installed fake spyware on my laptop to teach me a lesson. I work remotely in cybersecurity, which makes this even more twisted. He got upset that I was always on my computer. So he installed a fake spyware alert on my laptop. Full screen pop-ups, system freeze, even a fake remote access camera feed. I panicked, locked everything down, thought we were being hacked. Then he walked in holding popcorn, smiling like he was watching a movie. "You freak out like a cartoon character. I should have recorded it. I didn't speak for hours." It wasn't just about the prank. It was about the complete lack of understanding. This is my work, my reputation, my livelihood. And he treated it like a Halloween prop. When I told him how it made me feel, he said, "Relax. If your job was really important, you wouldn't have fallen for it." I walked away from him and that relationship without looking back. Story 38. She left a fake positive SDT test in my drawer. We were packing for a weekend trip when I found it. A printed result with her name on it and a bold positive marker next to herpes simplex type 2. I froze. We'd been exclusive for a year. My chest felt like it imploded. When I confronted her, she acted shocked, teared up. "I didn't know how to tell you. I was quiet the whole drive." At the cabin, she laughed and said, "Babe, it's a joke. I found a generator online. Wanted to see how you'd react." I got out of the car and walked 3 miles to the nearest gas station. There are things you don't fake. That wasn't a prank. It was a nuclear bomb dropped into an intimate space. She called me sensitive. I told her she should find someone whose trust she doesn't treat like a science experiment. We never spoke again. Story 39. He sent out fake wedding invites to our friends. We weren't engaged. We weren't even talking about it. But one day, mutual friends started texting me congratulations. A few even posted about saving the date. Confused, I looked online and found a wedding website with our names, a venue, a countdown timer, and engagement photos, screenshotted from random vacations. I called him. He said, "Oh, that? Just wanted to see who would actually show up." He thought it was hilarious that some people had already booked flights. Now we know who really cares. I didn't laugh. I felt violated, trapped, like I was a character in a sitcom written by a psychopath. I ended it that night. He told me I had no sense of humor. Maybe, or maybe I just knew better than to treat marriage like a game of RSVP chicken. Story 40. She called my ex and told her I wanted her back while I was asleep. I told my girlfriend everything about my past. How my previous relationship ended in a slow, painful unraveling. How I still carried guilt for how I left it. How I never got proper closure. One night, while I was asleep, she grabbed my phone and called my ex. She told her, in a fake crying voice, that I still loved her. that I wanted her back. That dating someone new was a mistake. She never expected my ex to believe it. But she did. And she called me the next day, leaving a voicemail that opened wounds I thought had healed. My girlfriend told me it was just a prank, that she wanted to shake things up. I told her I didn't need help stirring the past. I needed someone who didn't weaponize it for a joke. We were done by sunset. Story 41. He made me believe I'd missed my own graduation. I was the first person in my family to go to college. 4 years of night shifts, 2-hour bus commutes, and skipping meals to pay tuition. It all led to that moment. Graduation day. My boyfriend picked me up for the ceremony. He insisted we stop for coffee first. I didn't argue. But we lingered. Then he accidentally missed an exit. Then traffic. Then a flat tire. By the time we got to campus, the stadium was empty. Chairs being folded. Confetti blowing across the grass. I stood there, stunned, thinking I had missed one of the biggest milestones of my life. Then he pulled out his phone and said, "Just kidding. Your ceremony's in 2 hours. I just wanted to see how mad you'd get." I didn't get mad. I got quiet. And then I got out of his car. I walked to the ceremony alone, sat with strangers, and smiled for pictures I never posted. We broke up a week later. Some moments in life aren't meant to be tampered with. Mine was one of them. Story 42. She changed the locks to test how I'd handle being homeless. We lived together in a townhouse I paid most of the rent for. One night after work, I came home and my key didn't fit. I figured it was a mistake. I knocked. No answer. Called her. No answer. I texted, "Are you okay?" She finally replied, "You need to figure things out on your own. It's for your personal growth." I sat on the curb for hours. I had no coat, no charger, no wallet. I ended up sleeping in my car in a parking lot. In the morning, she called laughing. "You're so dramatic. It was just a joke. The locksmith comes back this afternoon." She thought she was teaching me some lesson about self-reliance. I thought I was dating someone with empathy. I was wrong on both counts. I didn't go back for my things. I had the landlord mail them. Story 43. He hacked my online dating profile and replied to people as me. I had a Bumble account I never deleted from years ago. I was inactive, but still technically visible. My boyfriend stumbled across it. Instead of confronting me, he logged in. I guess he guessed my old password, and started replying to men. He'd say wildly inappropriate things, ask them to meet in weird locations. One guy even showed up to my workplace. I had no idea who he was. Eventually, a mutual friend mentioned it, and I pieced it together. When I confronted him, he shrugged. "I just wanted to see what kind of people were messaging you. You shouldn't still have the app anyway." The fact that he violated my privacy didn't seem to register. The fact that I hadn't used the app in years didn't either. It wasn't a prank. It was possession, dressed in insecurity. I changed every password, deleted every trace of him, and left. If he wanted to play puppet master, he'd need to find a new doll. Story 44. She live-streamed our argument to her followers. We got into a minor disagreement. Nothing heated. I was upset she forgot to grab something for my mom's birthday dinner. She said I was nagging. What I didn't realize was that she'd gone live on Instagram halfway through, just propped her phone up on the counter and hit go live. As I tried to explain why I was frustrated, people were commenting things like, "He's overreacting," and "Gaslight him, queen." I only noticed when I saw her glance at the chat. When I said, "Are you filming this?" she replied, "Relax, it's just for content. People love couple drama." I felt violated, like a character in a show I didn't agree to star in. Our private life had become public spectacle, and my emotions were punchlines. I walked out mid-live stream. She lost a boyfriend, but hey, maybe she gained some engagement. Story 45. He told my little brother Santa wasn't real and blamed it on me. My brother's 8. I helped raise him after our dad passed. Christmas was always our thing. We'd write letters, track the sleigh online, bake cookies. It was one of the few pure, untouched joys he still had. That year, my boyfriend was coming home with me for the holidays. He was great with kids, or so I thought. On Christmas Eve, he told my brother, "Santa isn't real, you know." And when my brother started crying, he said, "Ask your sister. She was just about to tell you." I was stunned. I tried to fix it, to backtrack, but the damage was done. My brother cried through dinner. My mom asked what happened. My boyfriend just laughed and said, "It's not like he wouldn't find out eventually. We broke up on the 26th. You don't mess with someone's childhood joy and pawn it off as a prank." That wasn't funny, as that was cruelty in a red suit. Story 46. She replaced my art portfolio with blank pages before my grad review. I was finishing my final semester in art school. My portfolio, 6 months of work, was ready for review. Paintings, sketches, personal statements, and my digital presentation, all packed into a zip case. I left it by the door the night before. Next morning, I get to campus, unzip the case in front of my professor and three jurors, and every single page is blank. Even the flash drive had an empty slideshow with "whoops" written on the first slide. I stood there, mortified. Later that night, my girlfriend came home with my real portfolio and said, "Surprise! Just wanted to see how you'd react under pressure." She thought it was character building. I thought it was sabotage. They gave me a redo, but my confidence never recovered. Neither did our relationship. You can't build a future with someone who thinks erasing your past is amusing. Story 47. He told me my visa had been revoked while I was abroad. I'm an international student. Visas are a sensitive topic. I was visiting family overseas for the first time in years and texting with my boyfriend back in the US. One day, I woke up to frantic messages from him. "Call your school. Something happened with your visa." He even sent me a fake email that looked like it came from immigration services, saying I'd violated conditions and would be barred from returning. I called my advisor in tears. She was confused, told me everything was fine. That's when I confronted him. He confessed, "I was just messing with you. Thought you'd get a kick out of it after the stress." I didn't laugh. I booked a separate flight back. Not because I couldn't forgive the joke, but because I realized how comfortable he was exploiting the biggest fear of someone in my position. Some jokes don't cross language barriers. Some just cross moral ones. Story 48. She dyed all my clothes pink before a job interview. I had landed an interview with one of the biggest firms in my industry. It was my dream job. I laid out everything the night before, my navy suit, white shirt, and backup tie. Next morning, I found all my clothes. Not just the outfit, but everything in my closet. Dyed various shades of pink. Shirts, socks, boxers. Even my shoes had been spray tinted. She was in the kitchen laughing. "It's a harmless prank. You can still wear it. You'll stand out." I didn't laugh. I drove to Target, bought an off-the-rack dress shirt, showed up 20 minutes late, and flubbed the interview because I couldn't stop sweating through it. That wasn't quirky. That was sabotage disguised as silliness. We broke up later that week. She told me I needed to chill. I told her she needed to respect boundaries that don't bleed colors. Story 49. He told me my cat had run away, then hit her for 3 days. My cat, Miso, is 11 years old and terrified of loud noises. When we moved in together, I made it very clear how protective I was of her. She's my emotional support animal, officially registered. One afternoon, I came home to an open window and no Miso. My boyfriend said she bolted when the vacuum came on. I lost it. We spent hours searching. I cried myself to sleep every night. On day 3, I came home to her sitting on the couch with a bow around her neck and my boyfriend grinning. She never left. "Just wanted to see if you'd freak out." I didn't yell. I didn't even cry. I calmly picked up Miso, packed her bag, and drove to my sister's. He called it a joke. I called it proof that he would play with my trauma just to test the depth of it. Story 50. She told me we had won the lotteries and let me quit my job. We'd been playing the same numbers for years, just for fun. One night, she came rushing into the living room screaming, "We won! Oh my God, check the numbers!" I looked. She had screenshots, matching numbers, a bank app mock-up showing $2.6 million pending. We popped champagne, called her parents. I called my boss and, in the excitement, quit on the spot. Something I wouldn't have done sober, but adrenaline and love are a hell of a combo. The next day, she woke me up and said, "Okay, so, we didn't actually win. I just wanted to make your Friday better." I stared at her. No words. Just sat in silence as everything came crashing down. She thought it was funny. I had no job. No plan. No trust left in her. We were over by Monday. Because if your idea of fun is giving someone their dream and ripping it away, you're not a partner. You're the punchline in their tragedy. Story 51. She replaced my allergy-friendly cake with one full of peanuts. I'm deathly allergic to peanuts. Not itchy throat allergic. We're talking EpiPen and ER visits. I've lived with it my whole life and take it seriously. For my birthday, she offered to bake me a cake. Said she'd double-check the ingredients. Even called the bakery for the icing. I was touched. I took one bite and immediately felt something was off. My lips tingled. My throat itched. I checked the label of the peanut butter cup topping she had hidden under the frosting, and my heart dropped. She smiled and said, "I used the real thing this time. Wanted to prove you're not that allergic." I used my EpiPen and called 911. While I was hooked to an IV in the hospital, she texted, "I'm sorry, I thought it'd be funny. You're always so careful. I figured you were exaggerating. We didn't break up in the hospital. We broke up after I realized she needed proof that my trauma was real before she could believe me. Story 52. He forged a letter from my dream grad school, rejecting me. I'd applied to a competitive MFA program. I poured my entire soul into the application. For months, I waited. It was the only place I truly wanted to go. One morning, my boyfriend handed me an envelope. It had the school's logo. Inside was a typed letter, "We regret to inform you," and the rest of that crushing phrase. I cried, like ugly, gut-deep sobs. He held me and said, "At least you tried. We'll get through this together." Later that night, he laughed and said, okay, don't kill me. I made that letter in Word. You actually got in. They emailed you earlier, but I intercepted it. He thought it was romantic, a dramatic build-up to good news. But I'd already buried the dream once that day. The second time, it didn't feel real anymore. We stayed together a week longer, enough for me to accept the offer and move out. Story 53. She made fake missing person flyers of me and posted them in our neighborhood. They had my photo, age, last known location, our apartment, and a phone number, hers. The caption said, "Gone without a trace. Reward if found." She stapled them to telephone poles and left them at the local coffee shop. I didn't even know until I walked in for my usual latte, and the barista whispered, "Are you okay?" When I confronted her, she said it was part of a social art project on visibility and modern relationships. I was stunned. "You're literally turning my face into a joke for strangers," I said. She replied, "It's commentary. You're thinking too small." I wasn't thinking small. I was thinking clearly. I told her if she wanted to explore performance art, she could do it without dragging my identity into it. I took the posters down myself, and I never went back to that apartment.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.